Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and good to be with you here, be with you till 2 o'clock, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon, and we don't have any guests today, so we will be opening up the telephone lines. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this afternoon. And let's go ahead and open our program here with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air. Pray you bless the program today. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing to somebody today. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you. And again, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. We've got links to our home page, our page for our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. We'll have more information on that at the end of the program, and certainly give you an invitation to visit us if you're in the area. We're easy to get to. We're midway between Akron and Cleveland, right off from Interstate 77, where it crosses the turnpike in northern Summit County in Richfield, Ohio. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road. We have our Bible study tonight. Starts at 7 o'clock. It's an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions we have refreshments and just have a good time spending a couple hours studying and talking and fellowshipping around the Word of God. And then, of course, we have our services. We meet at the same location there at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express there at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. And we have our morning service at 11 o'clock. I'm just starting this week, Lord willing, going to be starting the book of Titus. We just finished up 2 Timothy last Sunday. We'll be starting Titus chapter 1, verse 1. And then on Sunday evening, currently preaching at 6 o'clock through the book of Proverbs. So that's what we've got. And if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, heard from somebody this past week, they're talking about visiting different churches and how many churches today simply do not preach the Word of God. And it's like what Paul told Timothy there toward the end of his second letter to him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, where he said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." If your church isn't preaching the Word of God, you need to get yourself a church that does. Find a church that does. Pastor Lutz, that was just on before us in the 1 to 1:30 time slot, they preach the Word of God there at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Andy Risnacko, who's going to be on at 2 o'clock from 2 to 2:30, they preach the Word of God in Euclid at the Euclid Bible Baptist Temple. And there's plenty of other churches in the area. You don't have to come to our church. We'd like for you to visit us, and if we're the church that the Lord would have you to participate and be a part of, we'd love to have you. But we preach the Word of God, and so I hope you'll come out and give us a visit. All right, well, we're going to get into a couple of things, and we have got a couple of people calling in. Before I hit the first phone calls here, I want to mention something to me, kind of stood out this past week. I saw an article where the chief health officer of New South Wales in Australia gave a press conference telling Australians that they shouldn't engage in conversation with each other, even if they're wearing masks, because of COVID. And this is what Dr. Kerry Chant said. Have triggered in Australia, that's supposed to be part of the free West, the free countries of the West, has been absolutely overbearing and dictatorial and tyrannical in their enforcement of masks and lockdowns and all of that. And New South Wales there in Australia, they're being ordered to comply with another series of lockdowns just by a couple of cases, just a handful of cases. And this is what she said about not talking to each other. Dr. Chant said, whilst it's human nature to engage in conversation with others to be friendly, unfortunately, this is not the time to do that. So even if you run into your next-door neighbor in the shopping center, don't start up a conversation. Now is the time for minimizing your interactions with others, even if you've got a mask. Do not think that affords total protection. We want to be absolutely sure that as we go about our daily lives, we do not come into contact with anyone else that could pose a risk. And I was reading that, and that made me think of a couple passages in Acts, where in Acts chapter 4, the chief priests and the scribes and the Pharisees were so upset with the disciples and the early Christians there preaching the gospel. They didn't want people to become infected with the gospel message. And they said the same thing. Don't talk to people. In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, if you just to substitute the gospel for COVID here, he says the council meets here and it says but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. This is Acts 4 and verse 16, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." And this is what made me think of what this official in Australia was saying. It says in verse 17, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. So yeah, they were worried that the gospel would spread and infect the people. So they said they were going to tell them not to speak to anybody, not to talk to anybody. And of course, the disciples continued to preach and to teach. And in the next chapter, and of course, they spoke and taught in Jesus' name, because that's the gospel message. You got to have Jesus in there. And it's amazing how many churches don't talk about Jesus today, but they said in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, when they picked up Peter for preaching and teaching in the name of Jesus again, it says in verse 28, saying, "Did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And I can't help but draw the parallel between this health officer in Australia saying not to have conversations with each other, because this is not about a virus. And she even admitted in there, don't think that the mask affords total protection, because they don't. The virus is probably about 5,000 times smaller than the average holes on your mask. So, I've used the illustration of putting up a chain link fence to keep the mosquitoes out. Well, actually, that's got a better chance of working than your mask does of keeping the virus out. It just simply is not effective. Many scientific studies show that. But see, they don't want people talking about this, and they don't want you talking. And this is what the left does. This is what the devil does. He doesn't want people talking about things, and so they try to shut people up. Here with the mask, they're trying to shut people up. Nobody can talk and share information. And here, this is the same thing they did back in the day of the beginning of the church. They didn't want them sharing the word of God because they were afraid somebody might get infected with it. And they said, don't talk to anybody about this. Don't speak or teach in Jesus' name. But Peter and the other apostles said, we ought to obey God rather than men. You need to be out there. You need to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in New South Wales and Australia, they need to be talking and speaking and teaching in the name of Jesus Christ, out having a conversation, sharing the gospel with those that need to be infected with the gospel message, if I can put it that way. Well, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, 888-677-9673. We've got Jim calling in with a question. And Jim, welcome to the program today.
Hey, Pastor, I love the way you put that together. Really great. Love it.
Oh, anyway, thank you.
I was telling the screen caller that I'm not sure if you've been asked this question before. I don't get a chance to listen to you every Friday. Like last week, I was on vacation. Mm-hmm. Most Fridays I do, brother, and I love your the common sense and all the other words that you speak. I was just wondering, have you ever watched the TV series The Chosen?
No, actually, I have not. I've seen it advertised online. I actually don't have cable, not for any great theological or whatever, just because I'm cheap. I don't want to spend money on something, and then I'll feel obligated to watch it, and I already watch probably more than enough of regular broadcast TV, but not that I watch a huge amount of that, but in the news and things. But I spent a lot of time on the computer, and I've seen advertisements for it, and I've always meant to click on some of the links to see if I could see a little of it, to see what it's like, but no, I haven't actually watched it.
Yeah, I think you should. I think it's really a creative way of unwrapping some of the mystery. It's all, you got to take it all with a grain of salt. But the episode I watched today, it gave you an idea of how John might have written the opening words of the Gospel of John, you know?
Uh-huh.
And it's just so creative. The way the director, the producer, whoever put the whole storyline together. Every episode has really been fascinating. The episode with Jesus and Nicodemus, and the way Nicodemus comes to him at night, and they put it out there. They, you know, Jesus tells Nicodemus, you have to be born again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the gospel message for sure. I mean, so far, you know.
Right. I know there's like purists out there that reject any attempt to dramatize the Bible, but at the same time, sometimes these can be effective as starting a conversation, and also I think humanizing things to where we see these people as real people.
There you go.
My wife and I saw a video several years on the birth of Christ, and there were some problems with the adhering to the accuracy of the biblical account, but one of the things that they really brought out in it was Mary and Joseph as real people living in a day when, for a young woman to come up pregnant and not married, and the stigma and the way people reacted to her, and something that you really don't think about when you read the biblical account.
And I think that's what this series shows the best, the realness of the people. Peter, all the disciples, you know, whoever did the role cast and the typecasting to find the people to play the parts did an excellent job. Anyways, if you have a chance, I think it'd be worth your while to watch it. I've been enjoying it. I enjoyed last year's. I'm going to get this year's, and you can get on your computer too.
Yeah, I just have. I keep seeing the things, and I keep meaning one of these days I'm going to do it. I'll have to take a look at that and see what it's like. So
I think it should, and then I think you'd have a great show about it. Okay.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks, Jim.
Okay, Pastor. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. God bless.
Great work.
Thank you.
God bless you. Bye bye.
Thank you. Bye. And you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. We've got Terry waiting next as well. Terry, welcome.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
That's good. But I hope you're enjoying good weather up north there.
Yes, it's been really nice.
Last 2 days here have been just really nice.
Not too hot. It's a little hotter today than it was yesterday, but...
But still pretty nice.
But, still can't complain.
Mm-hmm.
And even if we did complain, it wouldn't do us any good.
Well, the Bible has a thing, says, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. And it didn't say whether it's a sunny, bright, sunny day or a cold, dark, rainy day.
I don't think he really meant this is the day that the Lord... I got something here about current events.
Uh-huh.
To read. Might take me a minute to get through it.
Oh, right. And I think we got about 12 minutes or so on the program. 10 minutes.
Okay. Okay, there's around 42 million porn sites, which total around 370 million pages of porn.
Mm-hmm.
The porn industry annual revenue is more than NFL, NBA, NLB combined. It's also more than combined revenues for ABC, CBC, and NBC. 11 is the average age of a child is first exposed to porn. 90% children see porn by the age of 14. 56% of American divorce involved one party having obsessive interest in pornographic websites. 68% of church-going men view porn on a regular basis. Over 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. Of young Christian adults, 18 to 24 years of age, 76 actively search for porn. 59% of pastors say that the married men seek their help for porn. Only 13% of self-identified Christian women say they never watch porn. 87% of Christian women have watched porn. 55% of married men and 25% of married women say they watch porn at least once a month. 57% of pastors say porn addiction is the most damaging issue in the congregation. 69% say porn has already impacted the church. Only 7% of pastors say their church has a program to help people struggle with pornography. 93% of pastors see porn as an increasing problem in the church.
And, you know, it's especially with the internet and everything today, it's so easy compared to what it had been in the past.
It's so accessible.
Yes, that's what I mean. So easy to access or access. And it is to access, that's for sure. But and it is sad because what's happening is they're going straight for, you know, the flesh and the sin nature. And
if anybody has that problem, especially Christians, you know, there's something wrong with that.
Well, and the devil knows that he can certainly ruin relationships because that's what he's in the business of. He wants to ruin the relationship between a husband and wife because, you know, Paul wrote about that, saying that's a picture of Christ in the church. He certainly wants to do whatever he can to get people to take their eyes off from Christ. This is why David said in Psalm 101, I was thinking of this as you were reading that statistic, in Psalm 101 is a tremendous psalm. He starts out, David is saying, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. And when he's talking about mercy and judgment, you know, that gives us the thought that there are things that we do that are wrong. That's the judgment. But then there's the mercy of God, which we experience as a believer. And after talking about singing of God's mercy and judgment, then he starts in verse 2 to say, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. So it's a decision, a constant or a conscience decision that he's making, that in the midst of all of the moral decay around him and the temptation around him, he's choosing to behave wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And so these are decisions. I will do these things. This is his decision. Doesn't mean he's going to be perfect, but he's going to attempt. In Psalm 101, verse 3, then he says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And this is one of the things, pornography cleaves to people. And it gets a hold on people. And like you said, even people in church. And this can be a danger because David, we know, succumbed himself because remember his sin with Bathsheba. So he wasn't perfect, but he made a decision. He was going to endeavor to behave in a perfect way. He was going to endeavor to walk with a perfect heart. He was going to endeavor to set no wicked thing before his eyes. And the whole psalm goes on talking in other areas too, which is a very good psalm. I encourage everybody to read, study Psalm 101. But he had to make this decision to endeavor, you know, to do the right thing, because left to yourself, you know, the flesh is going to take hold and lead you down the wrong paths. And you know, somebody once said it's better to shoot for something and miss than to shoot for nothing and hit. So at least David had a plan here. He was going to endeavor to do the right sort of thing and to avoid the wrong things. And unfortunately, a lot of times, and not just with pornography, but many other things, people aren't making the decision like David did, that they're going to honor God with their life and all the things that they do and endeavor to be worthy of God's mercy. You know, we can never totally be worthy of God's mercy, of course, but at the same time, we ought to have this mind that David had. So,
and it says, a little leaven leavens a whole lump.
Right, right. So it doesn't take much, and it's like a drug, really. And in fact, they have done studies, and they've shown that the brain chemistry changes, and it does become addictive. It's just even something as simple as being on social media. When you get positive responses to posts on social media, you get some brain chemistry changes. I forget what it is, dopamine or whatever, that's released that makes you feel good. And so, of course, you know, then you want more things that make you feel good. And of course, like just like with drugs, what made you feel good initially doesn't give you the same result, and so you need more. And this can apply to anything. This can apply to, like I said, drugs. This can apply to gambling, any number of things that this applies to. Shopping. People shop and they feel good, and so then they want to shop more. And all the, but see, the whole world is geared towards making you feel good and not feeling convicted about what God would have us feel convicted over.
And I've been reading this from this book that I've been reading, called The Masquerade, by Carl Gallups. And, it talks about a lot of, I think this has all got to do with the end times.
Oh, absolutely.
And before.
Yeah. And we look at the coarsening of society, because remember Jesus said it would be like as in the days of Noah. And we know that the world was filled with violence at that time. And we also have, and with the short time we have left, we don't have time to get into it. But we've talked about in past programs, about the sons of God being the angels and the daughters of men, and the things that took place there that led to a disrupting or a muddying of the human gene pool. But also we have, not only did Jesus say it would be like the days of Noah, but it would also be like the days of Lot. And of course, what was the days of Lot? We think of Lot living in Sodom. And of course, Sodom and Gomorrah were known for their licentious lifestyles, rampant homosexuality. I was talking with somebody recently, and they were talking about a book that they read, and I had seen this too, but not the same book, that they try to say that the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah was not rampant homosexuality and things and that, but it was people not being hospitable enough. God destroyed the cities, you know, burned them completely up because they weren't hospitable. No, it was because of the great moral evil that Sodom and Gomorrah had fallen into, and just getting worse and worse. And as in the days of Lot, it would be like that, the Bible, Jesus said, when he gets ready to return. And we sure see that today, don't we?
Yes.
So we need to pray for...
Look up for our redemption draws
now. That's right. That's right. When you see these things begin to pass, Jesus said, look up for our redemption draws nigh. And so thanks for bringing that up, Terry, and appreciate that. And I hope everybody will tune in next week. I'm going to be out at the Summit County Fair. Pastor Lutz will be sitting in the studio. I'll be calling in for the Summit County Fair. If you're down in the Akron area, visit us. Our church booth will be at the entrance section of the fair. We'll be there all week. And thanks for listening. Join us next time. Have a great weekend. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.